Frame Radio Broadcast is brought to you by Nepsis. When you invest with clarity, you have better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
Are you called to more than just getting it done by Friday?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him with your host, Jim Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him nation and cities around the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work For Him this afternoon. As you are listening all over Tampa Bay, from Ocala to Fort Myers to Disney and, of course, to the beaches, we're so thankful that you tuned in, as well as in Northeast Florida, from Southeast Georgia all the way to St. Augustine and all over the First Coast, including Jacksonville. We're so excited to hear from you. So please engage with us. Check us out online at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com, or on Facebook, Martha.
That's right, Jim. So we are going to start doing more video stuff on our Facebook page. So if people have not taken the opportunity to like us on iworkforhim, iworkforhim, that's our Facebook handle or whatever you call it. They can certainly find us there and follow us. And
it's your new CB channel, Facebook.
And just a little insider tip. If you want to actually see the posts that we post, you need to like them or comment them on them every once in a while. Facebook wants to, try to limit. They're trying to help you by limiting what you see, but because they're assuming that if you don't make a comment or a like, you're not engaging. So anyway, people can connect on our I Work For Him Facebook page. They can also call our listener line, and Jim loves to have people call into that, and you'll actually hear my voice, and you can leave a message. Let us know what's happening in your area, if there's somebody you want us to connect to, or if something just really touched you or made a difference in your life. We'd really like to hear about that.
Absolutely. We are all about just recognizing that each one of us has a workplace, and in that workplace, recognizing that it's your mission field, your workplace, it's your mission field. And in that mission field, you and me, we may be the only Jesus our coworkers, our employees may ever meet. That job that you hold, the work that you do, none of that is by chance. The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. You know, about 2 years ago, I heard about an amazing magazine that highlights the history of Christianity. They produced an issue all about the faith and work movement, all about callings and vocations, and its roots going back 2,000 years. You know, having not gone to seminary or a Christian Bible university, I was fascinated with the research presented in this issue and wanted to make sure our I Work For Him audience heard about this resource today. So I've invited Michael Austin, spokesman with the Christian History Magazine, to tell us all about it. Michael Austin, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be with you and your audience, and especially glad to have Martha with us today.
Yeah, it's always more fun. People say it's great radio when Martha's on the radio. It's just okay when I'm on the radio. Hey, Michael, before we get started talking about the Christian History Magazine, talk to us about how did you come to be a follower of Jesus?
Oh, boy, what a question. Thank you. I love to talk about this because it was the greatest thing that happened in my life. I was a very small businessman in upstate New York. I was a public relations consultant in New York City. That was a 35-year career in New York City. And a very brief period of time, I rented out my apartment and I moved up to Schenectady, New York, and opened an office there. Some folks had invited me to come up and join their enterprise. And so I was there, and I have to tell you that I was just a heathen, really, a guy who was kind of drifting along in life. As a very young person, I always had a desire for God. And that manifested in a number of ways, which I won't go into a whole lot of detail. But I got involved with the New Age and Hinduism and mysticism and meditation and a guru at a very young age, from actually the age of 22 to 35. when I got out of that, I studied cult mind control. I was very interested in finding out what the heck I had been involved with. And those were incredible, very depressing years of anguish, living in hell, really, in retrospect, when I look back at it. But after, 10 or 15 years of being freed from that, I was still a kind of an amateur meditator. I was actually quite a trained meditator. And one night I was in a meditative state. And Jim, the Lord spoke to me. And it knocked me off my, I was actually lying flat on my back going to sleep one night. And it knocked me right off the bed. I was terrified. But you know what? He said something really important to me. He told me that I was going to die soon and that I had better get right with him. And that message changed my life. He did that work that night. I was never the same. I became a person who, with a great desire, because it actually fulfilled in my life a desire that I always had. And I made it my business to become, after that first message, I agreed immediately because I was under conviction. I only knew that later. I only knew that language later. But I agreed completely, and my thinking was, okay, how do I do that? And he gave me a second message. He said, follow my son. Be a Christian. And so I got my greatest life's desire, and that was to know my calling. And that's what I got that night. My calling was to follow Jesus Christ and be a follower of his. And so that's what I made that. I immediately went about the business of getting right with him. And I used to ask Christians, how do I become a Christian? What do you do? What do you do in life? And of course, they would say, well, come to my church. And I would go to their church, and sometimes I would be elated, and sometimes I would think, well, you know what? I don't think this is it. I need to go elsewhere. And so I was on a search for learning how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's how I came to be a Christian and to be a follower of Jesus.
So that was an amazing journey that God took you on. And for our listeners that might have just tuned in, we are talking with Michael Austin, and he is a spokesperson for the Christian History Magazine. And we're going to be talking more about that magazine in a little bit, as well as a specific issue that Jim really wants to be able to highlight. Michael, as a result of really turning your life being completely changed, and it sounded like you were a studier of many things before you got to know and follow Jesus. As you've studied the scriptures, has there been a specific scripture that you have kind of clung to as a life verse?
Oh, yes. And as a matter of fact, that very night, I knew very little about the Christian faith, practically nothing. However, when I was a child, my mother, who actually did not know the Lord, but she had a great sense of duty. I later found out that my grandfather was a Bible-carrying Methodist, and he had six children, he had six daughters, and none of them knew the Lord. But my mother had this sense of Methodist duty, I think. And when I was in middle school age and early high school, she would take me and my sister to church. We were a traveling family. We were a military family. My father was career army. And so every 2 years we moved. And when we would do that, my mom would take me and my sister to church. And she would take us typically to a Methodist church. Well, if you go to a Methodist church, you're going to hear the Lord's Prayer. And you know what? When he told me to follow his son, I was thinking to myself, how do I do that? What does that mean? What could that possibly mean? I knew who it was. I knew it was the God of the Bible that was talking to me. And so I knew I needed to follow Jesus. And so I thought to myself, how in the world can I do that? Well, I thought perhaps I could remember that Lord's Prayer that I heard as a child. And you know what? I remembered the first verse. And all I knew, what I knew thoroughly about was yoga and following a Hindu guru. And so I made that first verse of the Lord's Prayer into a mantra. I don't know if your listeners can relate to that or if you can understand what that means, but that's typically a mantra in the Hindu tradition is the name of God that you repeat over and over again. Well, I now had a mantra. I never had one when I was a follower of a guru, but now I had one. And it just filled me with joy and power. And what I did was I repeated that over and over again, and I went to sleep. And but you know what? Over time, I recalled that entire prayer without even knowing it was.
We'll be right back with more from Michael Austin about the Christian History Magazine. Don't go away.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, formerly Integrity Resource Center, with today's Integrity Moment.
This week, we're discussing the spiritual struggle some have over building wealth. Some point to the rich young ruler story as a mandate for us all to be poor. Jesus knew this rich young ruler's heart. This young man's love of money was blocking him from eternal life. Jesus' call for him to sell his possessions was a specific call to this young man, not to everyone. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." If love of money is hindering your relationship with Jesus, then God may call you to poverty. But don't assume God abhors the creation of wealth for all people.
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
Hey, Jim. So just last week, I ran into one of our friends at the store. She mentioned she'd been listening to I Work For Him on her car radio, but she didn't get to finish the show due to an appointment, and she missed the end of the interview. So I had her get out her phone and go to our website, iworkforhim.com, and I subscribed her to our weekly blog email right away. Then every Friday, she'll get all the show links from the past week sent to her, along with your blog, Jim. I also showed her that the website allows her to listen live, search for past shows, and have all the different podcast options that she can subscribe to. She was excited to see that our website had all the radio program information and her blogs, Jim, our events, a challenge to join the I Work For Him Nation, and even information about our show sponsors.
Hey, listeners, you should subscribe and stay connected. While you're there, find out how to connect on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram all have constant updates about show guests, upcoming shows, links to listen, pictures, and even videos. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as Martha and I today talk with Michael Austin. He's a spokesman with Christian History Magazine. I'd love for you to check it out online, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org. Just a great resource, something that I just found out about 2 years ago. And they did this one issue that was all about callings and vocation and work. And we're going to talk about that with Michael Austin today, but he was sharing a story about how he became a follower of Jesus. And boy, if you're just tuning in right now, it's amazing. There were so many different ways how God intersects our lives. And Michael, as you got intersected and you became a follower of Jesus, when God said, "Hey, follow my son," you said you were a small business guy. How did your new faith in Jesus impact how you did business? What kind of a business were you running?
Well, I was a PR consultant for 35 years in New York City. And here I was up in Schenectady, New York, away from the city. And I did have the experience. This was an amazing experience to go back to New York City. Actually, from Schenectady, I came down to Asheville, North Carolina, where my father was from. He had passed some years before, but I came down to look after my mom. In fact, I mentioned my sister, she and I being taken to church by my mom. Well, my sister had just passed herself. And so, you know what? The Lord just packed me up, and I was on my way down to look after my mom in Asheville. Mm. I spent a couple of years there traveling back and forth between New York and my office in New York and Asheville. but eventually went back to live for a short period of time in New York. And here I was, a born-again Christian, for the first time in my life, looking at and living in Gotham, the Big Apple, New York City, back, you know, walking the pathways that I was used to, the subway, getting up to Times Square, where I had an office at one time, actually in the largest independent PR firm in the world, with a staff, thought I was somebody. And here I was back in New York, a Christian with new eyes. And I saw the city completely differently. But by the way, this was just after 9/11. I was in New York City on 9/11, not a believer. I came to the Lord. He found me 2 years after 9/11 in 2003. And so I was 59 years old when he got a hold of me. And so I was deep in the public relations, communications, marketing field. And you know what? Within 4 years of that experience, I turned around and realized that the Father had converted my little practice, because I was an independent sole practitioner. I would hire staff as needed, but a very small business person. And here I looked around and I thought, Father, is this a ministry? And that is what has happened. And that's how I'm speaking to you today, as a communicator, a communication consultant, advising ministries, other ministries, on how to increase their exposure, how to fundraise, how to communicate in this world,
wow,
how to deal with the press that we have today.
So we're talking today with Michael Austin. He's a spokesman for Christian History Magazine. Love for you to check it out online, christianhistorymagazine.org. And you may be going, Jim, you know, why are you highlighting a magazine? It's like, I found a resource that I really found valuable. And in fact, we're going to give away today, during the third segment of the show, issue number 110, along with a DVD provided to us by Christian History Magazine. This issue 110, Michael Austin, was on callings, work and vocation in the history of the church. Talk to us about, though, first, Christian History Magazine. What is this magazine all about?
It's about the history of the faith. Ken Curtis, who is a filmmaker, biographer, documentarian, he was actually the producer of a famous movie called The Cross and the Switchblade, starring Pat Boone. It was the story of David Wilkerson in New York City, who evangelized the gangbangers of the 60s and 70s. Nicky Cruz came to the Lord through him. And so Ken had a heart for history and felt that we Christians just don't know much about the history of the faith. So he started this magazine back in 1982, and it has continued since. It was very quickly picked up by Christianity Today and distributed by that magazine as a separate magazine for many, many years. And then about 8 years ago, about 7 years ago, Christianity Today took a turn in direction and decided that they wanted to no longer distribute this magazine. So it came back to the original ministry, which is Christian History Institute. They are located north of Philadelphia with a small staff, and they decided to create a website to expand the magazine, make it better, and continue this as a ministry. And so that, along with other kinds of communication products that they produce, such as the Torchlighters, which is a series of DVDs for children, animated biographies of heroes of the faith, that and many, many other properties and communications tools, film and printed material, continues in that ministry today.
So let's highlight that website, and that would be the christianhistoryinstitute.org. Is that correct, Michael?
That's correct. And yeah. And also, if your listeners type in ChristianHistoryMagazine.org, both of those addresses will take you to the same website.
Perfect. So that's great. So in talking about the magazine, how did you guys come up with the idea, or how did they, whoever they is, right, how the people, the great minds that get together, decide to do a whole issue on the history of faith and work?
Well, and isn't it wonderful? It's one of my very favorite issues because it has all to do with how we live and what we do in life, in the life that we have to live. So now the editorial board or the editorial staff of the magazine, I have nothing to do with those decisions. They have a long list of topics that they are committed to put into the issues of the magazine. It's important to know that, you know, every issue is on one single topic alone. And so this one is on faith and work. A recent one was on faith and food. They're not all like that. Many are on certain individuals or movements in the faith and so forth. But clearly the Bible speaks eloquently and often about our work. It has all to do with our faith. Our Heavenly Father not only considered history to be very important, he considers work to be very important. And by the way, for your listeners, it's important that we distinguish between this, you know, this word work can be very easily confused because a lot of preachers and pastors and authors talk about works versus faith relative to salvation. We're not talking about that. We are talking about our vocation, our calling into labor and work, our livelihood. That is the kind of work that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So let's just jump into a little bit of the magazine, because I really want to, before we get to the bottom of this segment, really want to talk about who was the first Christ follower that you guys highlighted in the magazine that started struggling with this whole idea, started commenting about the faith and work. I mean, it when you look at the history, the magazine did a great job of covering in the last 2,000 years. Who was the first Christ follower struggling with that connection?
Well, you know, when you ask me that question, that's interesting because we could go in many, many different directions. But frankly, I believe that to be Paul, the Apostle Paul. He spoke about that in Acts. Paul was a tent maker. We know that from Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. He was a tradesman. And not only that, but he taught something very important in Acts 20:33. Paul refers to the fact that he works to provide for himself. He works to provide for those with him. We have to think that that is his family and his friends. And he makes it very clear that he is not beholden to those who he is evangelizing to, those in his faith community, his church family, so to speak, that we might use that phrase today. He's not relying on them for his livelihood and for his let's call it rent and groceries. He is a worker, and so I think it's an eloquent and very profound, meaningful teaching that we can derive from Paul and his words and his circumstances. That you know how important work is, and many of the traditions.
We come back lots more from Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. Check him out online, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org. Lord, it's been a rough day at work today. I've been working on a project, and my coworker just doesn't seem to care about our deadline. Lord, what should I do? He's been late to work every day this week and sitting by himself during lunch lately. Do you think there's something wrong? What, Lord? You want me to ask if he needs prayer? Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Lord, I also want to thank you for my job. I pray that I can be an example for those I work with. Lord, I made a commitment to pray for my coworkers and employees when I joined the I Work For Him Nation. Help me daily to lift them up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you want to make the same commitment? Join the I Work For Him Nation now and get a window sticker and a personal note from us. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
That's iwork4him.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Prosecutors say in court documents that the father of a missing Georgia boy was training kids at a New Mexico compound to commit school shootings. Documents filed today say Siraj Wahaj was conducting weapons training near the Colorado border, where 11 hungry children were found in filthy conditions. Prosecutors are asking he be held without bail. The remains of a child have been found on that compound and are awaiting ID. Republican U.S. Representative Chris Collins, accused of giving an illegal tip that allowed his son and others to avoid hundreds of thousands of dollars in biotech stock losses. U.S. Attorney Jeff Berman announcing today that Collins was supposed to keep secret devastating news that he received in an email about a failed drug trial back in 2017. On Wall Street, the Dow closing down 45 to 25,584. NASDAQ ending up 5, the S&P ending down 1. For more details, srnnews.com.
$299 a month for a late model car or SUV. $299 a month. Dream Wheels Auto Sales has late models for $299 a month.
No credit.
Bad credit.
No problem.
All credit applications accepted. $299 a month. Dream Wheels will get your loan done when others can't. Got junk in the trunk? Don't have it under your hood. Come to Dream Wheels on St. Augustine Road or check out our website, dreamwheelsjax.com. Dreamwheelsjax.com.
Here's what's coming up on I Work For Him. Thursday on I Work For Him, Luke and Dave are back from Bel Air Wealth Management. Luke and Dave have been working on an idea that we think will encourage you and challenge you to look at the Bible and investing from a whole new angle. Connecting what we hear on Sunday with what we do in our 9-to-5, because the eternity of millions is at stake. Tune into I Work For Him every weekday at 2 p.m. on The Truth at FM 91.7 and Talk 100.3 FM at 5 p.m. or anytime access at iworkforhim.com.
This half hour of the I Work For Him radio broadcast is sponsored by listeners like you who have contributed to the I Work For Him Ministries Giving Fund. Become a part of our support team. Find out more online at iworkforhim.com/donate.
Welcome back to I Work For Him as we check out a new resource today. We want to make sure the I Work For Him audience knew about, and that's issue number 110 of the Christian History Magazine. You can find them online at christianhistorymagazine.org. They did an entire magazine on callings, work, and vocation in the history of the church. And today we're giving away a copy of that issue. You can call the listener line to get a copy of that issue, 866-713-9675, 866-713-9675, or 866-713-9675. Work. That's the Christian History Magazine. Find them online, christianhistorymagazine.org. We've got Michael Austin. He's a spokesman for the Christian History Magazine. Michael, this issue, number 110, is filled with incredible articles about how Christ followers throughout the ages have been, that it's not just today, in almost 2020, that it's been for the last almost 2,000 years that Christ followers have really struggled with connecting their faith and their work. Let's talk about the article by Will Messenger. Now, Martha and I got to meet Will Messenger last October in Kansas City at a National Faith and Work Association meeting. And Will, being an incredible scholar, he writes this article about callings and gifts.
And I just loved it because he said that our callings unite us. He said, and why is it important? He says, gifts that differ, callings that unite. An interview with Will Messenger. How is it that Will communicates that our callings unite us?
This is really interesting, isn't it? Because he's such a profound thinker. And the article actually is written in the format of a question and answer. And so he talks about something I think that is a theme throughout the issue and is very compelling. And that is, you know, why do we have this word calling? In the biblical times, New Testament biblical times, Jesus called people out to join him. And when he did that, he gave us a model of our lives. I experienced this myself. You can imagine, dear guy, very worldly, very sophisticated, thought I was. And suddenly, I come under conviction to be called out of the world, literally. But still working, continuing to practice my profession, but in a totally different way. And so calling, our calling and our profession, think of that word profession. Where did you last hear profession at your workplace as opposed to in your church? I would submit that possibly the last time you heard it was in your church, and it had to do with a profession of faith. That is the origin of this word and of this concept of both calling and profession. We are called to follow him. We are called out of the world to follow him. And so as Christians, we have work to do, but how do we do that work so that it is consistent with our faith calling and our profession of faith? So over time, and I think this is what Will is talking about here, because he cites Old Testament callings when Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, called people, called Moses out of the desert, manifested himself as a burning bush and a voice, by the way, in Genesis. What Adam heard and what Adam walked with in the garden was a voice. So we're called. We're called by our Father. We're called by Jesus. And so when Will is talking about now, he goes from that. Now, that's an individual call. All of us have a story about that. We've all been, every Christian, no, we're not born Christians. We're born again Christians. So how did that happen in our lives? How did we come to know him? How did we come to desire to be his follower? Well, that's our story. We all have one. And how do we, now it's in the telling of that story, and it's in the manifesting of our faith in the world, and especially in the workplace, because we spend most of our time in the workplace. How do we manifest that calling? How is that a part of how we serve in our profession, our worldly profession? And that is what I think Will is talking about. There is a unit. You can almost recognize a Christian. A Christian will recognize another Christian in the workplace by the way he or she presents himself, by the way they talk, by the way they relate to their fellow workers, the way they reach out to comfort, to bear others' people's burdens, to collaborate in a cooperative way, not to be deceiving, not to be destructive, not to destroy, not to steal, all of those things that a Christian knows he should never do and never be involved with a profession that does those things. And so there is a unity in the workplace of people who are believers, who are in what I think is the greatest greatest ministry field, mission field that there is, and that is your workplace.
I love that. And the fact that we all have so many different gifts, yet God uses those gifts, no matter what they are, in our jobs to bring glory to him, and we get that opportunity. I think it's just so important that we bring that to the attention of our caller or our listeners, is that it doesn't matter no matter what your gifts are from God that play out in the profession that you hold, God wants to use them for his glory.
So,
isn't that
Jim,
wonderful? I think that's what James is talking about when he talks about faith without works is dead. He's talking about, you know, we work because we have salvation. We don't have salvation because we work.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to remind our listeners where they can get a hold of this resource. We are giving away a copy today of a specific issue, and they can call our listener line for that, which is 866-713-9675. But if this is something that you maybe want to subscribe to, just go to ChristianHistoryInstitute.org and look for the magazine tab, and that will give you all the information there. And there's just a wealth of resources that people can check out while they're there. But we're specifically today talking with Michael Austin, and he's a spokesperson for the Christian History Magazine. And recently they did an issue on callings, work and vocation in the history of the church. And so, of course, that was intriguing to us as we talk about work every day here on our show.
You know, Michael, when you look at the history of early stories of Christ followers wrestling with their vocation, their faith and their work, really quickly, which one of those stories intrigues you the most? Which one of those stories resonates most with Michael Austin?
Well, you know, I go back, I'm a fan, if you will, of the very, very early church, and I'm talking about just one or two generations, or immediately after Christ's resurrection. And Ignatius, I think, is a great example, and I think he now Ignatius was, what was it, 100? He was he lived around 100, so he, and I believe he was the disciple of an apostle of Jesus, and so he was very, very close to that time. Now he actually lived from 35 to 107, and you know what he talked about? He talked about, because we have some writings of Ignatius, he talks about the suffering of Christians. This was a time when Christians were being persecuted to the death. And we forget this because I think in these modern times, particularly in America, you know, we Christians, we think we just have it made in every regard. And we're kind of surprised at the notion that we might be persecuted or we might be jailed. By the way, those times are coming. I believe we're seeing it because there are pastors who are being detained. If they, you know, are preaching about, you know, same-sex marriage, homosexuality, some of the issues that we all know about that are controversial.
So going back to Ignatius, what was it about Ignatius that inspires you that you love to hear from him?
Well, he was just unflinching in his vision of what it was to be a Christian and what it meant to answer the call to conversion. Those were the days when Christians, they were all out there in life, in the marketplace, in their work, and they were all talking about Jesus, because Jesus was just the hottest thing on the planet. Everyone, you know, the only other in these towns and cities in the Middle East, everyone was going to these pagan temples. Well, there was something new in the world, and people were on fire for Jesus, and they were reminded every day that they had to be faithful to their church. To the Word, to Christ, and to their calling, because they could be, and they were being wiped out. All across that area. Now, this would be prior to Constantine, who legalized Christianity.
Well, let's
the Christian faith was illegal.
Right. Well, let's talk about that time period of time between Ignatius and Constantine, a couple hundred more years. Christ followers mm-hmm. living out their faith in their work, Christ followers living out their excitement about a relationship with their Heavenly Father made possible by Jesus, that transformed the very culture they were in. Talk to us about that.
Well, for instance, the pagans were rampantly sexually immoral. Christ brought many new things, and one of them was, I mean, to the whole region, because it was spreading beyond Israel. It was spreading into Syria, the area we call Syria now, Egypt, all around the Mediterranean. And this new lifestyle, which just unhinged people, they couldn't believe that this group of Christians were so faithful to their beliefs in Christ that they would actually die rather than give up their behavior. And one of their behaviors was to be faithful to their wife and husband.
Right.
They weren't selling themselves on the sex market.
And that kind of behavior transformed the Roman Empire and eventually led the Roman, I mean, really, it overturned the Roman Empire. Listen, we're talking with Michael Austin, spokesperson for the Christian History Magazine. Check him out online, christianhistorymagazine.org. We'll be right back.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Do you dream about getting away with your spouse and escaping for a few days? Do you just want a little time to reconnect and enjoy a little sunshine? It's not too early to start thinking about planning time away with your spouse next winter.
We want to invite you to join us on our annual Cruise Your Way to a Better Marriage, brought to you by I Work For Him. We will be setting sail from Tampa Bay to Cozumel on Royal Caribbean Brilliance of the Seas, February of 2019, leaving on Valentine's Day. How romantic can it get?
Our main sessions will focus on ways to strengthen your marriage and grow closer to each other and to God. Breakout sessions will be geared to diving a little deeper, exploring biblical principles for marriages and the workplace.
With plenty of downtime to eat, relax, and connect with each other and the 20 other married couples, what's not to be excited about? Details are online at iworkforhim.com event page.
Register online at iworkforhim.com and let your boss know you'll be out for a few days in February because you'll be cruising your way to a better marriage. See you on the boat. That's iworkforhim.com, iwork4him.com. Welcome back to I Work For Him. As Martha and I talk today to Michael Austin. He's a spokesperson for Christian History Magazine. And we're talking about issue number 110, which is all about callings, work, and vocation. And it's really the history of the faith and work movement from the time right after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to today. And we really wanted to call attention to it, a resource that's a great resource. And we're giving away a copy today. Call the studio, the listener line, 866-713-9675, in order to get in the runnings for getting a copy of that today. All right, Michael Austin, we've talked about really the early church, but the magazine really covers the whole 2,000 years of the faith and work movement. I kind of want to jump ahead to Martin Luther and the Reformation 500 years ago. We just celebrated the 500th year of the Reformation just last year in 2017. Talk to us about the things that Luther realized about faith and work that the church wasn't teaching 500 years ago.
Yes, well, the Reformation, of course, changed everything. Luther had a tremendous role in that. He was not the first that came up with this idea, but he was certainly the most prominent and over time, is kind of the poster boy for salvation by grace through faith. And he discovered this in Romans. And
You know, he had a problem because he was a Catholic priest. And the church was suppressing even reading the Bible. But we have to think about what revolutionary times the Reformation was, in that people were starting to use the Bible. And that changed, literally changed everything. So Luther found in that a freedom from the tyranny of the Catholic Church and in life in general. He got married. He was a celibate monk. His wife, Catherine, was a celibate nun. They began to change the social life of Europe radically. And part of that was a liberation. In fact, the subtitle to the article, Liberating Those Who Work, Martin Luther Challenged Centuries of Vocational Reflection. This was a liberation movement. People were suddenly confronting that confronting an entirely changed society. The universities were starting. Martin Luther was a teacher in a university. Universities were basically monasteries that were converted into educational institutions. So
Let me just interrupt you for a second. Isn't it true that during I want to make sure I ask you some of these questions because it's important everybody understands. Isn't it true that at the point in time of the Reformation 500 years ago, the church was teaching that that there was a difference in the level of callings, that the highest callings were priest and missionary, and that everything else was a subservient calling, that it was a secondary calling? Isn't that true?
Yes, and that's one of the things that Luther began to talk about. And of course, this is in the Bible. And it's, I think, the reference of Paul, to go back to Paul, also talked about this, that, you know, there's, in Matthew, there's the teaching of Jesus saying, don't let anyone call you teacher. He talked about the rabbis and the teachers elevating themselves above everybody else. And his teaching was, one is your teacher, even Jesus Christ. The rest of you are all brethren. And so, yes, there was a hierarchy, a caste system, if you will. Luther was one of the first that began to chink away at that caste system and to teach people that what you have to do in life is your calling, and there's no other greater. In other words, we are all on the same level playing field.
How did that, Michael certain, Austin? How did that impact the Industrial Revolution? So jump ahead 400 years. Luther laid the groundwork. Yeah. People started reading scriptures for themselves. They started realizing that some of the things that the church was teaching 500 years ago, and really during the whole Dark Ages time, they weren't necessarily true. They start to read the scriptures for themselves. Then all of a sudden you jump into the last 150 years where technology and innovation has been a rapid expansion. How has faith impacted those during those period of times in those kinds of jobs?
Well, later in the issue, there's an article about God's business, and a lot of that article is about John Wesley. John Wesley was raised Anglican, and when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, he began to go to Anglican churches, which, by the way, at that particular time in England, were very elitist. You had to be a rich person to even wear that kind of clothing to make you acceptable to come into to a church building. You had to pay for the seat in the pew. And he went into those churches and began to preach sin. And would you believe, and this is a wonderful, incredible story, they would pick him up hand and arm, rather hand and foot, and throw him out the door. These were extreme Calvinists. The church had become Calvinist to the extreme in Britain at that time. And what did John Wesley do? He turned to open-air preaching and going to the mines and going to the people who would never be allowed into a church and began preaching in the open air. He began a group at Oxford College called the Holy Ones. He began a piety movement, and along with George Whitfield and others, began to teach
to preach to the common man, that introduced a way of thinking such that when the Industrial Revolution came, that caused another radical revolution in society, where people from the farms and agricultural business were now going into cities to get jobs operating machines and industry. Then that became a Christian movement to bring the gospel, to encourage others in their Christian faith in the workplace, in factories, in offices, and all of the things that we take for granted today, because the Industrial Revolution was another radical social change in which the Christians were very active. And there's yet another article about what would Jesus do. That article talks about those who were in business, and one of them, by the way, was an advertising executive that I was familiar with, that wrote a famous book called The Man Nobody Knows in 1925. This goes back to the early days of, well, by 1925, the Industrial Revolution was in full swing. That started in the mid-1800s. But there were many, many movements that encouraged businessmen to form organizations. One of the first ministries that I myself became involved with was CBMC. Christian Businessmen mm-hmm. Committee. That was actually started in Chicago in the 20s, just at the time of the Depression, when businessmen were so distraught they were jumping out of windows. And that ministry was started by a group of Christian businessmen who decided to hold weekly meetings and in their workplace. And there's a whole tradition of para ministries that do that to this day, all over the country and all over the world, of business people in this greatest mission field that I think that there is in the world, and that is our everyday workplace.
Oh, and that is so true that you know, CBMC, great ministry, been around for 88 years in 356 cities around the country, cbmc.org. I love that you highlighted that. I love that they had an impact in your life, Michael Austin, as the spokesperson for Christian History Magazine. One last question really quick for you, Michael. As you look at today's modern faith and work movement, where it's really gained steam, you know, there was R.G. Letourneau was living out, living on 10%, giving away 90%, developed all the patents for the heavy machinery back in the 20s and the 30s, and then Stanley Tam collecting up silver during the black and white photograph developing times, and he, you know, God owns his business. And then you go to today, where there are thousands of faith and work ministries. The impact on the world around you today, as you are a marketing and advertising and an executive and helping people do that kind of stuff, where do you see the faith and work movement, really quick, where do you see the faith and work movement going next?
Oh, I see it exploding. We have a businessman in the Oval Office now. That has changed so much. Our business and our economic picture has been changed in a near 2 years, and people are excited. There are jobs available. People are going, eager for retraining, so that they can get these jobs that are available. And I think that there's a message there, because I think just last week,
there's a message, but we got a meeting in his office. Michael, we're out of time. Michael Austin, thank you for being on I Work For Him today from Christian History Magazine. Thank you, Michael Austin.
Thank you for having me. Hope we can do it again. Bye now.
You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately,
I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG Jacksonville, AM 1600 WZNZ, Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville.
One of the things I like about Woody Folsom is he don't forget who his friends are.
That's right, Mama.
I tell you what, some of them old car guys out there just forget what they quoted you and start making stuff up. One of them's so dadgum bad he's done got overdrawn at the memory bank.
Not gonna happen at Woody Folsom Overflow in Jessup. These guys rock. They sell every car like they were selling it to their daddy and service every vehicle like it belonged to their mama.
That's the way we do business.
And now, in addition to the free lifetime powertrain warranty that comes with nearly every vehicle we sell, we also get you some free maintenance. Buy any gas-burning vehicle and your first four oil changes are complimentary. Two if it's diesel. All you got to do is talk to us.
Lim Tootin here, proud to be Woody's Jessup General Manager. Nobody sells for less. Get in here and make us prove it.
Woody Folsom Overflow, North 1st Street in Jessup. We want you happy.
Man, them boys is hotter than a pot of neck bones. I'd like me some neck bones now.
To ensure your vehicle's maintenance and repairs are done properly and at a fair price, call Stewart Automotive Repair. This family-owned operation is an official Napa Auto Care Center with ASC-certified mechanics that have the know-how to diagnose and repair almost any foreign or domestic vehicle that comes their way. Stewart Automotive Repair. Great people. Great service. Located behind the Kangaroo Store at Beach and Hodges. Call 992-6868. Online at stewardautomotiverepair.com. That's stewardautomotiverepair.com.